Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded, white, Christian, Israelite brothers and sisters out there. This is Pastor Steve, and the show is Word for Word for Wednesday, September the 7th, 2016. And today we are going to be going into the book of the Midbar, which is the book of Numbers. The Midbar is in the wilderness, which is its Hebrew name. And we're going to be going into chapters 9 and 10. And I will be giving references as I go for verses, because this set of chapters has got a lot of stuff in it. Let's get started here. Chapter 9, verse 1. And spoke Yahweh to Moshe in the wilderness of Sinai in the second year after their going forth from the land of Mitzrayim in the first month. Verse 2. Let the children of Israel keep the Passover at its appointed time, that is 4150, Moed, in the 14th. Now, you combine the number 4 and the number 10 to get 14 in Hebrew. So that is 702 combined with 6240. And the 14th day of this month, at evening, which is at sundown, you shall keep it in its appointed time, according to all the ordinances 2708 of it, and according to all the instructions 4941 of it, shall you keep it. And spoke Moshe to the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at evening in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that Yahweh had commanded Moshe. So did the children of Israel. Now verses 1 through 5 in chapter 9, you can reference the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. And for verse 2, you can reference the book of Yashar, which is Jasher in English. They don't have a J in Hebrew. Chapter 83, verse 15. Now, verse 6. And there were certain men who were defiled, 2931, by the dead body of an Adam, 120. In other words, they had contact with a dead body. Somebody died, or they went to a funeral, or whatever, that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moshe and before Aharon on that day, verse 7, and said those men to them, we are defiled by the dead body of an Adam. Why are we kept back, 1639, that we may not bring near a gift offering to Yahweh and his appointed time among the children of Israel? They were ceremonially unclean, and they could not do this. So, verse 8, And said Moshe to them, stand still, 5975, and I will hear what commands Yahweh concerning you. He was going to speak with Yahweh. And spoke Yahweh to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, if any man of you is unclean by a dead body, or on a journey far off, or of your posterity, they shall still keep the Passover to Yahweh. The second month, on the 14th day between evenings, they shall keep it, and matzot and maror, 4844, they shall eat with it. Okay. This would be the next month, the second month. Verse 12. They shall leave none of it until morning, nor break any bone of it. According to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it. In other words, when they were clean, they would keep it the next month to show the observance and what is due to Yahweh with his Passover. That's his Passover. And they didn't want to be left out of it, and they surely didn't want to show disrespect to Yahweh, and Yahweh understood this. Their hearts were pure, okay? But they had come in contact with a dead body, and therefore were ceremonially unclean, and they wanted to observe the laws correctly. And Yahweh understood this, and he is merciful. He was not angry with them. He saw the intent of their heart. Yahweh sees our heart, what's in it, whether we are sincere or not. We can lie to each other, we can even lie to ourselves, but we can't lie to Yahweh. Yahweh sees everything. He sees the intent of our heart, whether it's honorable or dishonorable, and he will make adjustments accordingly. He is an awesome, awesome deity. Verse 13, but the man that is clean, 2889, and is not in a journey, and ceases, 2308, to keep the Passover, that person shall be cut off from his people, for he brought not the offering of Yahweh in its appointed time. That man shall bear his sin. Verse 14, and if a sojourner shall sojourn among you and will keep the Passover unto Yahweh according to the ordinance of the Passover and according to the manner of it, so shall he do. You shall have one ordinance both for the sojourner and for him that was born in the land. 249, born in the land. Now, who is he talking about here? Israel is going to be scattered all over like the sands of the sea. This is a visiting Israelite. A non-Adamic could not participate under any circumstances. Period. No ifs, no ands, no buts, no non-Adamics. Not going to happen. Yahweh's not doesn't have anything to do with them. These covenants are with Israel alone. So this particular sojourner that they're speaking of here that could keep the Passover would be a visiting Israelite. Now this was back in that land. Well, I'm an Israelite. And I'm in the United States of America. I am a sojourner here. My home is in the kingdom of Yahweh. and I am a temporary resident here. When he brings new Yerushalayim down with Yeshua Messiah, that will be the day when I am home. Because not only will all the governments fall, all of this global planet will be under the rule of Yeshua Messiah. All of it. And I will have been changed and will have a new body and won't be old, and I won't have bronchitis or wear glasses or be a little hard of hearing, and I'll have all my teeth back, and oh, on and on and on and on. It'll be glorious. And I won't have all the enemies of Yahweh threatening me. All of them will be destroyed, and everything will be clean, and everything will be according to Yahweh's will at that time. And we are occupying presently until Yeshua returns. That's all we're doing. We're in a holding pattern, Israel. We're in a holding pattern. And if we fall asleep, in other words, we die, we'll be back. We'll be raised. I believe this firmly. I have seen so many miracles. I don't doubt anymore. And with the recounting of all the miracles in this wonderful scripture book, oh, I'm just looking forward to his return so much. Let's get back into chapter 9. I can't praise Yahweh enough. I just can't. Verse 15. And on that day the tabernacle was raised up. The cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. And at evening there was upon the tabernacle as the appearance of fire until the morning. Verse 16. So it was always. 8:5-4:8. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. Verse 17. And when the cloud ascended from upon the tent, afterwards would go forth the children of Israel. And in the place that the cloud abode, 7931, there the children of Israel would pitch their tent. The cloud would raise up, signaling their Yahweh's permission to move on. And when they went and there was a cloud waiting for them, they would pitch their tents, and the cloud would move upon the tabernacle when they set it up. Oh, what a glorious time when Yahweh was just physically with us. Verse 18. At the commandment of Yahweh, the children of Israel would go forth, and at the commandment of Yahweh, they pitched their tents. As long as the cloud abode above upon the tabernacle, they pitched their tents. He told them when to go and when to stop. Praise Yahweh. Verse 19, and when the cloud stayed, 7:48, upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the command of Yahweh and did not go forth. They camped there and stayed there. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the command of Yahweh, they pitched their tents, and according to the command of Yahweh, they went forth. Verse 21. And so it was, when the cloud abode from evening to the morning, and the cloud ascended in the morning, then they went forth, whether by day or by night, that the cloud ascended, they went forth. Because if it went up, they packed up and left. Right then, right there. 22. Or 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud stayed upon the tabernacle, remaining upon it. The children of Israel pitched their tents and did not go forth. But when it ascended, they went forth. Oh, boy. Verse 23. It'll be that way again, brothers and sisters. It'll be that way again. We will have Yahweh in the flesh with us, and he will give us commandments, and we will be able to see him. And what a glorious day that will be. Verse 23, at the command of Yahweh they pitched their tents, and at the command of Yahweh they went forth. They kept the command of Yahweh by the hand of Moshe. In other words, Moshe would be spoken to by Yahweh, and he would tell Israel what was to be done. Wherever Israel was, they kept the Passover, and we are to do so today. Now, we've been in discussions about exactly when the Passover is and all of that. Eli and I are really hitting this subject hard, and we're getting emails and posts and everything from people, and we're in big discussions because we really want to please Yahweh. Now, of all times, in the time of Jacob's trouble, we really want to toe the mark, you know, be precise to please him because we love him. He is. And we are blessed because he is. And he chose us. Oh, what a wonderful thing. He chose us. And we want to get back to pure worship of him and be obedient to all his commandments and be under his blessings again. And when the tribulation comes upon us, be under his protection. And we can go out with the saints and we'll survive. And during the tribulation, we'll keep the Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles and the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Day of Atonement and the Feast of Trumpets and the Wave Sheaf Day, and just all the commanded feasts and the Fast of Atonement, and we're going to keep them, and Yahweh's going to see that our hearts are with him. And he said it in the book of Isaiah, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And he was speaking of the people that were just giving lip service and not being obedient. We don't want to be like those people, do we? No, our hearts are close to him. Close to him, because he is our Elohim. He is not the Elohim of anyone else. He is the Elohim of the universe and his chosen people. But he has made no covenant with anyone but Israel. And we are blessed because of that. And all he wants is our obedience. The blood of bulls and goats were not making propitiation for our sin. So he manifested himself as Yeshua and surrendered his earthly life and that earthly body to all the torments and became sin for us. He has picked up the weight of our sin from upon us because he loves us. And while we are here, before the kingdom comes down here in full and all the governments fall, we're going to try to be obedient. And he sees our actions. By their fruits shall ye know them. We want to show him good fruits, worthy of repentance. And that we want to come back to him with all our hearts and all our being. And that's all he wants. He knows we can't be absolutely perfect. There was only one that was absolutely perfect, and that was Yeshua. But he wants us to make a good effort. And he wants us to care. He wants us to care for him. And he wants us to care for each other. It's a brotherhood. Brothers and sisters. In Yeshua. Worshiping the Father, Yahweh. That's how it should always be. So that's the purpose of this show. To teach the word. The real word, without all the tampering and the church agendas and the nonsense that they have added, and the Canaanite, Edomite Jews have taken so much out and hidden it. Well, I brought it back in my version of the scriptures and rewritten. I didn't rewrite the Bible. I took all their rewritings out and took it back to what it's supposed to be, to the very best of my ability with the research material that he made available to me to do this. And a preacher is supposed to exhort to righteousness. And that's all I'm trying to do here. Be obedient. Don't take off on wild goose chases over all this false doctrine and these fantasies that are out there. The rapture, flat earth, all that nonsense. We don't go after false doctrine like that. Absolutely not. Doing away with the law. We don't do away with the law. Only the sacrificial laws have been fulfilled. We don't have to sacrifice animals. But the rest of the Torah stands. Don't be distracted by fables. Stay with the scripture. If it's not in the scripture, don't fool with it. Don't be deceived. Well, we've entered chapter 9. That was a short little 23-verse chapter. Let's get into chapter 10 here. And they're going to be... making trumpets, the day of the sounding of the trumpets. And that's the Feast of Trumpets. Let's just get started here. Chapter 10, verse 1. Spoke Yahweh to Moshe, saying, make you two trumpets, 2, 6, 8, 9. Of silver. These are katzotzeroth. That's a plural of katzotzer. Katzotzeroth. These are different from 7782, the shofar, which is a ram's horn trumpet, not silver. These are silver trumpets. Make you two trumpets of silver of a whole 4749 piece. You shall make them, that you may use them for assembling 4744, the assembly 5712, and for a journeying 4550 of the camps 4264. Verse 3. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to you at the door of the tent of meeting. And if they blow with one, then shall gather the leaders, heads of thousands in Israel. When you blow a signal, 8643, then the camps on the east, 6924, shall go forth. When you blow a second signal, the camps on the south shall go forth. They shall blow a signal for their going forth. But when the congregation is to be gathered, the congregation is 6951, and gathered is 6950. You shall blow, but you shall not sound a signal. 7321. Now you remember, and I hate to refer to Hollywood, but they always showed the Western movies and the troops out on the march, the cavalry, and they would signal with a bugle. And they had certain signals. that they, you know, da 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 da, you know, charge. Well, then they had other signals, reveille, and just they still do that. They send certain things over loudspeaker systems at army camps today. They have a company bugler. Still done. Tradition. Well, they did the same things here. They had certain signals, and everybody knew what the signal was, and when they blew that signal, they did certain things. Verse 8, the sons of Aharon, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance, 2708, forever, 5769, throughout your posterity, your generation, 1755. Okay. Verse 9. Here we go. If you go to war, 4421, in your land, against the enemy that oppresses you, then you shall blow a signal with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered, 2142, before Yahweh Elohim, 430, and you shall be saved, 3467, from your hated enemies, 341. And that's how Yahweh set this up. And let me turn the page here. Verse 10. In the day of your gladness, 8057. And in your appointed times, 4150. And in the beginning of your months, you will blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of well-being, that they may be to you for a memorial, 2146, before Elohim. I am Yahweh Elohim. Now, this wasn't the single day, the sounding of the trumpets, because there, that's shofar. The sounding of the shofar is the day of the trumpets. Yom Teruah, which is a long blast. Teruah means a long blast on the shofar. And you use the shofar to sound when the Shabbat comes in. When you start the Shabbat service, you sound the shofar. I do that. When we have high holy days and feasts, you call to assembly with the shofar. Whenever I go to one of the feast days, I bring my shofar with me. And I sound that. Verse 11. And it was on the 20th of the second month, in the second year, that the cloud ascended from upon the tabernacle of the testimony. Verse 12. And went forth the children of Israel, departing, 4550, the wilderness of Sinai. And the cloud rested, 7931, in the wilderness of Paran, 629. Now, verse 12, you can reference the book of Yashar, or Jasher, chapter 83, verse 26. Verse 13. And they went forth at the first, 7223, upon the word of Yahweh by the hand of Moshe. Verse 14. The standard, 1714, Remember, I discussed standards a couple of chapters ago. The standard of the camp of the children of Yehuda, Judah, went forth first with their host, 6635, their army. And over the host was Nahshon, son of Aminadab. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Yisachar was Nethaneel, son of Suar. And over the host of the tribe of Zebulun was Eliab, son of Kelon. These three tribes camped together, and the standard for Yehuda was the lion. And the tabernacle was taken down, and the sons of Gershon and the sons of Merari set forth bearing the tabernacle. They were in between. They followed Yehuda because they were surrounded for protection. And then all the Levites were all armed. They were warriors. And they protected the tabernacle. They just had all the troops around them. They weren't fooling around. That was holy. Verse 18. And went forth the standard of the camp of Reuben with their hosts, and over the host was Elitzur, son of Shedeur. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Shimeon was Shalumiel, son of Zurishaddai. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Gad was Eliasaph, son of Deuel. And the Kohathi went set forward, bearing the sanctuary, and they put up the tabernacle until the others came. And I'm turning back in my pages here. While I'm doing this, if I can get the pages to separate. And I need to get to the camps here. That was back a few chapters. Oh, ho, ho. These are fresh pages and they stick together. There we are. Shimeon, their signal was an Adam, their standard. That's Reuben, Shimeon, and God. The standard of Reuben was an Adam. And I lost my place here. And the Kohathi set forth, bearing the sanctuary, and they put up the tabernacles until the others came. And went forth the standard of the camp of the children of Ephraim, that's verse 22, with their host, and over the host was Elishama, son of Amihud. And that was a bull or ox. They camped on the west, and that's Ephraim, and Manasseh and Binyamin. There were three tribes. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Manasseh was Gamaliel, son of Pedahzur. Verse 24, and over the host of the tribe of the children of Binyamin was Abidan, son of Gideoni. That was that camp under the standard of the bull or the ox. Okay, and the standard of the camp of the children of Dan went forth, which was the rearward of all the camps throughout their hosts, and over his host was Achiezer, son of Ammishaddai. Now that standard was an eagle, because it was Dan, Asher, and Naphtali that brought up the rear. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Asher was Pagiel, son of Ochron. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Naphtali was Akira, son of Anon. Now that's all four surrounding camps of three tribes each, surrounding the Levi in the middle, the Levium, Levites. So they had this order, and they, wherever they went, for all the years they spent wandering in the wilderness, that's how they traveled. It was very, very highly organized. Verse 28, these were the journeys of the children of Israel by their host, and that's their armies, when they went forth. Verse 29, and said Moshe to Chobab, 2246, son of Reuel, 7467, the Midiani, 4084, father-in-law, 2859, to Moshe, we are journeying to the place of which Yahweh said, I will give it to you. Come with us, and we will do good by you. That's 3190. Do good by you is one word. Because Yahweh has spoken good concerning Israel. Verse 30. And he said to him, I will not go, but I will depart to my own land and to my kindred. 41:38. 31. And he said, do not leave us, please. For as much as you know how we are to encamp, 2583, in the wilderness, and you may be to us instead of eyes. Verse 32, and it shall be, if you go with us, yea, it shall be, that what goodness Yahweh shall do to us, the same we will do to you. Well, they convinced him, and he went with them. Verse 33, and they departed from the mountain of Yahweh, 3 days' journey, and the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out 8446, a resting place 4496 for them. Verse 34. And the cloud of Yahweh was upon them by day when they went out of the camp. And it was when the ark went forth that Moshe said, rise up, Yahweh, and let your hated enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you. Now, verse 35, here you can reference Psalm 68, verse 1. That became a famous saying. Verse 36. And when it rested, he said, return, O Yahweh, to the many thousands of Israel. And that ends chapter 10. Now, we have numbered all the names, okay, when they mustered them. I put the Strong's numbers with the with any new names. So I didn't repeat the Strong's numberings in this chapter after the names. It's just English. And this whole thing, this whole chapter, were the rules for these journeys that were going to eventually last 40 years. Now, you know that as they journeyed, there were spies out in the weeds in the woods from all these Canaanite nations around. They wanted to see what this massive group of Israelites was doing. They were very concerned. And they would report back that this great big cloud went with them. And then it turned to a fire at night. It had the appearance of fire. And they didn't really want to fool with people that carried an ark like that and their God followed with them in a giant cloud of and fire at night. That, you know, these were not sophisticated, scientific believing people. All these Canaanites all around them, they were superstitious and had all these piddling little idols that they worshiped, which never did anything. They never got an answer out of some statue. And when they saw Israel with this manifestation going through the wilderness, it scared the heck out of them. And rightfully so. Yahweh, wow. these people, these Canaanites, were little idol worshipers. They worshiped these stupid stone and wood and whatever, the god of what's happening now, you know, some kind of Baal. And when they spied out and saw the real deal moving along with Israel, it set them back on their heels. And as much as Yahweh had shown Israel, when we get into chapter 11 tomorrow, you're going to hear about the mixed multitude. Remember, they had a mixed multitude that went with them? Well, we've had the story of all the complaining and the story of the quails coming into camp and all that stuff, but they're going to redo this in chapter 11. Like I have told you, they repeat things. And sometimes, oft times, they add a little more information. Well, tomorrow in chapter 11, you're going to get a little more information. But in chapters 9 and 10, we see that Yahweh is very much with Israel at that point in time, going along with the two types of clouds, the regular cloud during the day and the fire cloud at night. Now, he has removed himself from us and doesn't manifest himself like he did because we walk contrary to him. We have gotten away from real Yahweh worship. The so-called churches of today do not promote the feast days. They have substituted pagan days for the real feast days. Instead of Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they celebrate Easter, which is Ishtar Sunday, for the pagan goddess of fertility. They have all these sun symbols. A steeple on a church, not a bell tower, but a steeple. The big, long, pointed thing on top of the roof. That is an Egyptian sun pillar. And they worship on the day of the sun god. The Washington Monument in Washington, D.C. is a sun pillar. Up in the northeast part of the country, I forget exactly where it is, but they have a pillar of On, a sun god pillar, with all kinds of Egyptian runes and stuff. They brought that over and reassembled it up there, and they have a sun pillar up there. We're commanded not to put up any pillars. We're not to have any statues that we worship, and we have Catholic churches all over with statues in them, and they bow and scrape and worship and pray to these statues. Light candles to them. We have allowed the pagan names of the days of the week. We're going by the Gregorian calendar from Pope Gregory. The Protestant churches, quote unquote, are following Rome right along. They're not protesting. They're no longer Protestant. They're going along with the Romish ordinances, which are contrary to the word of Yahweh. We have people that don't worship Yahweh. They claim to worship the God of Israel, but they are masquerading as Israel, and they basically have all the money power. They are doing usury, which is against Yahweh's laws. They're promoting homosexuality, which is against Yahweh's laws. Child pornography, adult pornography, any kind of perversion that you can think of comes out of Hollywood. Psychological warfare through the Talmud vision, better known as the television. What they tell you is a lie. They're telling you, but they're not telling the truth. You got mega churches begging for money, massive cathedrals, fancy, when there are people out in the communities that are hungry. American veterans of the Jewish wars living in cardboard boxes, homeless. We've got a Veterans Administration that's supposed to take care of these wounded veterans and stuff through the VA hospitals. And you ask any of the vets that have gone to the VA how well they're treated. And we wonder, I mean, I can give you a laundry list. I can go on for another hour listing. Y'all know what's going on. You look around and you wonder why Yahweh isn't manifesting himself like he did back when Israel was getting ready and wandering through the wilderness, and he showed himself. And he did miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. And he's not doing these gigantic, showy miracles anymore. He's doing little miracles on an individual basis. He's worked miracles in my life. There's no explanation for what has occurred with my body except Yahweh's workings. the opening of my mind to the scriptures and the knowledge that has been given to me of the Hebrew language is nothing short of miraculous. It is a very complicated, very difficult language to learn. And he has filled me with knowledge and taken me places in the scripture and just revealed things to me because I seek to get closer to him. And he tells us in scripture, if you come closer to me, I will draw closer to you. And he does that. No great big sea partings right now. Private, quiet miracles. Not just with me, with many, many, many people. And his Holy Spirit is going through us and calling people one by one, by one, by one. And they're gathering together. The tribes are waking up. More and more people are realizing their actual identity because he is prospering and blessing the Christian identity movement. He's working miracles within his people in what is comparatively a small way. It's big to us when we receive these blessings. Oh, oh boy, is it big. I know I am just astounded and awed. But nobody else that doesn't really know me and what I've been through, which is something which I accept, not complaining. I went to prison. I stood up to the government and I paid a price. I'm not the first, nor will I be the last, to go down before the beast. I'm not ashamed of being in prison. I wasn't a criminal before. I wasn't a criminal in prison. I'm not a criminal now. Patriotism is a crime. Self-defense is a crime. They're trying to work on making being a Christian, a real practicing Christian, a crime. They're working on it hard. The Antichrist is doing that. The people of the serpent, the children of the devil, as outlined in the book of John, children of the Nakash, and they hate true Israel. They hate Christianity. They hate righteousness. They love money. They love their lies. They love their perversions. They love their Talmud. That's their holy book, not the scriptures. A rabbinical study of the scriptures with all the perversions and lies and filth in it. Their idea of morality is diametrically opposed to morality in the Torah of Yahweh. That's what the adversary does. He mirror images in reverse, in darkness as opposed to in light, the laws of Yahweh. He will take and do the opposite. It's a reflection in reverse of what Yahweh has taught us. And the government with their controllers are Antichrist now. They're going to be the enforcers. But what's coming, if you read chapter 1 of the book of 2 Thessalonians, it will tell you what Yahweh has planned for these people. they don't believe it, but it doesn't matter whether they believe it or not. Their belief system is irrelevant. Whether they believe they're in power, oh, we got the guns and we got the troops and we got this and we got that. Well, we have Yahweh. Try to trump that. Oh, that's a pun. Try to trump that. Oh, well, even this election is going to be rigged. They're going to put in who they please. And it won't really matter because it's prophesied what's coming, and it's going down their road. They're doing their little agenda. Okay? But the commandment to us is, through Yahshua Messiah, occupy until I return. Occupy. Resist these people. Even if it's costly to you. Don't love possessions. Love Yahweh. Yahweh first, always. That's a simple rule. The two words that I always try to say, Yahweh first. Do what's in the will of Yahweh. Learn these scriptures. Don't just listen to me. Read them. I want you to look up everything I say. Make sure I'm not giving you a shine-on treatment here. I want you to read for yourself. Don't just take what I say as truth. I could be another hustler. Read for yourself. Look it up. Get your concordances and your different Bibles and research everything I'm telling you. I'm giving you chapter and verse. I'm giving you Strong's numbers. I want you to use those. The books I'm reading to you from that I've taken all the perversions out of are listed on Anglo-Saxon Israel. You can read this stuff, and all the if you forget a number or something, you can get it right off of the Anglo-Saxon Israel under Anderson's Old Testaments. It'll give you chapter, verse, Strong's numbers, all that stuff. We're updating it as I get it computerized. I'm just using the copies that I had on primitive equipment from prison. Well, I've got a bunch of them. I'm in the Book of Numbers right now typing it out, but I had a little bit better equipment. So by the time I got to Numbers, and it's pretty clean and pretty correct. There's a few minor typos in it, but I didn't have the time or the equipment or the permission to spend any more time on it than what I did. I did nothing for the 13 years I was locked up except scripture study. Didn't watch TV. Don't want to worry about sports. I didn't try to be one of the bros. It was scripture. Scripture, scripture, scripture. Nothing but. And that's what got me through prison sane. Being locked up with all those animals, the beast of the field. Well, I'm out, I'm free, and I'm still studying Scripture every day. I'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll get into chapter 11. And I will say Shalom Aleichem, and may Yahweh bless all of you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe.